The board.
Alrighty, we're now on to the regular session for the Normal Transportation Board. To public comments, anyone would like to make a statement regarding any matter?
Mr. Chairman, while people are coming up, I'd like to make a brief statement to thank these wonderful college of ours who are going off board.
We're going to have a little ceremony?
Yeah. Okay, I'll hold off on that.
At the end. Resolution at the end.
Mr. Chairman.
State supporter of Tulsa. He doesn't care what his association says. He's really.
That's why I'm here to set the record straight, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. My name is Dale Bennett. I am president and CEO of the Virginia Trucking Association, and I'm here today to speak against the I-95 toll plan that you just heard about. We oppose this plan because it proposes to toll an existing interstate highway. There are a myriad of reasons why we oppose tolls on I-95, but I only touch on three today, and we will be mailing you our complete position paper with further details explaining the other reasons why we oppose this plan. First of all is our concern about traffic diversion that has been discussed a few minutes ago. Tolling I-95 will cause a huge diversion of traffic to local roads that are not suited to handle high traffic volumes. In 2005, for example, Ohio reduced tolls on Ohio Turnpike after they found that a large number of trucks were using non-tolled, less safe roads than the Turnpike. Mention was made of the North Carolina plan. They're estimating that 30% of the traffic will divert from I-95 if they proceed with their toll plan. It is inevitable that tolling I-95 will cause a major diversion of cars and trucks to less suitable roads. Secondly, we believe that tolling is a waste of taxpayer money. Tolls are the most inefficient way to collect revenue from highway users. Under the plan that's being proposed by VDOT, in the first 6 years, 38% of the revenue being collected will go towards building and operating the toll collection system. In the subsequent years, about 11% of the revenue generated will go towards toll collection, maintenance, and operating costs. Virginia's transportation needs are too great to be wasting taxpayer dollars on a costly and inefficient tolling system. Thirdly, is a concern about the negative economic impact. Tolls on I-95 will significantly harm Virginia's reputation as the most business-friendly state in the country. They will impose a significant cost on trucking and the many businesses that depend on trucks. Tolls unfairly target interstate trucking and commerce, and at a time when we are attempting to promote Virginia as the premier state to do business, tolls will be a red flag for any company considering or looking to relocate here. Businesses, especially distribution centers and manufacturing facilities, will undoubtedly look to locate away from I-95 if they have to pay a toll to do business in the corridor. In essence, VDOT would be choosing winners and losers in the all-too-competitive environment of economic development. I will conclude by saying that throughout this process, there's been almost no opportunity for public education about the plan, questions, or comments. There are simply too many unanswered questions for this process to continue. Tolling I-95 will have a ripple effect that will reach far beyond a single tolling facility and will negatively impact Virginia's economic environment. Once tolls are imposed, there will be no going back. And we strongly urge you to oppose tolling on I-95. And I'd like to conclude by adding that we're not just standing here today saying no, that our industry is on record, both in Congress and here at the state level, of supporting increasing in the fuel tax as the most efficient way to generate revenue for transportation, especially when the alternative is tolling. Thank you for your time, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Good job. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman and members of the board, I'm George Larry, and I'm speaking today for the Charlottesville-Altamont Transportation Coalition. Your intention to award a contract today for the Route 29 Western Bypass in Albemarle County raises the question of whether the expenditure of $244 million is cost justified. Analysis of the total Western Bypass cost and the accompanying reduction in traffic in Route 29 compared to three projects in the Places 29 plan, which was approved by the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors in February 2011, is very interesting. The Western Bypass will take approximately 14,000 vehicles a day off Route 29 in the year 2022. at a cost of $244 million or $17,000 per vehicle per day. And it will still leave a level of service on Route 29 of F when it's completed. The Meadow Creek Parkway, a part of the Places 29 plan, will take 17,000 vehicles a day off Route 29 at a cost of $41 million or $2,000 per vehicle per day. Hillsdale Drive Extended, a part of the Places 29 plan, will take 12,000 vehicles a day off Route 29 at a cost of $24 million. Burtmore Drive Extended, a part of the Places 29 plan, will take over 20,000 vehicles a day off 29 at a cost of $38 million. Traffic and cost figures come from the 1993 FEIS, the 2003 SEIS, the 2008 Thomas Jefferson Planning District studies, including the 29 North Corridor study, the 2009 UNJAM 2035 study, and the 2010 Berkmeyer Drive Extension study. The Places 29 plan will remove three times the traffic off Route 29 than the Western Bypass at less than half the cost. If the bypass is constructed, it will not solve the traffic problem on Route 29, where the level of service will continue to be F according to VDOT's own studies. In this day of fiscal restraint, does building this overly costly road for political reasons make common sense? Clearly, the answer is no.
Good afternoon, Chair and members of the CTB. It's my appreciation to be before you this afternoon to talk about agenda item number 10. I'm Cindy Mester, Assistant City Manager for the City of Falls Church, a longtime participant and partner in MVTC jurisdiction and WMATA Compact. Do appreciate the comments made earlier by the commissioners to look forward to working together over the next 30 days, because my counsel, who was not able to be present today, asked me to reiterate our commitment to the regional partnership, since transit doesn't end at borders and it is not just a Northern Virginia issue, it is a statewide issue, and indeed the partnership of the state to the Northern Virginia jurisdictions is appreciated. But as much as we appreciate the ability to move forward as partners and hopefully the next 30 days to work on a compromise, I did want to reiterate some of the concerns that my city council and staff have in this process before us. We do willingly look at improving processes, but the time for this was insufficient. The notice given to Northern Virginia jurisdictions and MVT was insufficient to really process the issues before us. And in fact, as a smaller locality, we did not actually receive direct notice. And I've talked to DRPT and they acknowledged that error and it was in confusion and us not operating our own local transit anymore, but clearly we're part of WMATA. I've also just gotten confirmation yesterday that indeed we will get our staff meeting that DRPT indicated, even though we had not been reached out to. But that kind of fast pace allows for inadvertent oversight that we would request having more time to process. It also has the ability to have unintended consequences, which will not value and benefit our citizens as we deal with transit. The rationale for making this change has been described for transparency and credit to the state for the partnership. Partnership does require consultation and coordination, and so we would ask that this process have more time for that consultation and coordination, because it did not occur in this case. Notice was given of the change. We had 10 days to comment, and we do appreciate the director's extension of those time frames, but that was just too short for a good, thorough evaluation. It is our belief if it's not considered and developed in partnership, collaboratively, we will result in a less efficient, less transparent, and create an unfunded mandate on localities, which is not consistent with this administration. For the City of Falls Church, we have a special concern because under the current formula and state code, there's a hold harmless cause for transit money, and we need time to look at whether there will be a financial impact on the city. So besides just an administrative unfunded mandate, it may create actually a loss of funding. I understand DRPT is doing some analysis of formulas and data, and I appreciate the conversations I've had on that. But to date, I haven't seen that data, and it needs time to be properly analyzed. On some of the administrative points, to the points about getting down to the nitty-gritty of how do you make this work and what's the process, and not just at our fine elected officials level, I did want to note a few things that have the City of Falls Church concern. We are a small locality. In fact, we are the smallest incorporated city in the nation, so we obviously have a lean and mean staff. We have a part-time transportation planner, no grant manager, and the assistant city manager that's before you that tries to help facilitate our part-time transportation planner. So without knowing what are the implications of receiving this money directly and then making sure it gets to WMATA properly to pay for our part of the transit is a concern to us. We have for decades relied on the expertise of MVTC to serve that role both on the financial and the grant management piece. Now I understand from the director that we would still have that opportunity, but that process has not been worked out or discussed. We have adopted our budget, so our council and community is not in a position to add staff to change the administrative process, and indeed, we actually will have to amend our budget so we can receive, recognize, and expend this money that DRPT is going to send to us directly because it's not, per accounting rules, something we could actually write the check out for. Also, there's been discussions about that this DRPT money can be drawn down. We can ask for it 5 days in advance. Well, clearly, any local government cannot get a drawdown, turnaround, and issue a check within 5 days. At least this small locality can't. And as it speaks to those are less efficient processes, the City of Falls Church being small is not an MPO. We use NVTC as our MPO. We have two grant projects right now with DRPT and federal money. One's approved. The second one, the DRPT match is in process. They both have local money, FTA money, and DRPT money. We will be working with MVTC. All our money's going to go there, so this process will create a dual process. We'll have our MVTC projects that are grant-based, and then we'll have to have this other process that will deal with our WMATA funding component, of which the DRPT is only one part of the funding mechanism, so we will still have to work with MVTC for our transportation trust. So with those few highlights of the points, and I know you all have seen the written discussions and dialogues that as a region we've put before you, I appreciate your time, and our formal request from the City of Falls Church would be actually to delay it for a full year, go with the six-year improvement program as distribution has normally done to NVTC, allow due process to consider these points, and then implement a new and efficient process as that's the decision and consensus at the end of the time with the next six-year improvement program. In lieu of that, of course, we would certainly appreciate and we stand ready to work with the state and the CTB members over this next month to look at this process more closely. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I do appreciate the time that you have given me today to speak before you. I'm David Hodgkins. I am the Assistant City Manager and Director of Finance for the City of Fairfax, and I'm speaking on item number 10 also. And the city has asked me, our council has asked me to share their concerns and also relay their requests relating to this item, which is the proposed change in the funding process for state transit assistance. Similar to the City of Falls Church, we're also a very small jurisdiction. We're in basically the same boat that they are in, and our concerns relate to when it boils right down, it's really a lot of things come down to financial dollars and cents. And in this case, as was mentioned before, there is a hold harmless, or there are hold harmless protections in the current formula and the current system in the code that protects small jurisdictions within Northern Virginia relating to the funding process and the minimum funding that the small jurisdictions would receive. In our jurisdiction, we had adopted our budget on May 2nd and for fiscal year 13. If the proposed funding process is changed as proposed, it is estimated that we'll lose close to $200,000, which we have not budgeted for fiscal year 13. In addition to that, because we have limited staff and NVTC provides the services for us relating to grants and administration of the program, we would require additional staff and expertise, which would be an additional cost to the city in the form of an unfunded mandate. And those are major concerns for the city. And we would also like to make a request or a few requests relating to this particular item. One is not that the process should not be reviewed, and we understand that there may be ways in which the process could be changed to actually perhaps improve the transparency and even the efficiency, but we would ask that at this time that the process not be changed, that it would be looked at closer and reviewed, and that you would direct a DRPT staff and the members of the affected members to get together to review the process and come back with a solution that works for all parties at a later date. And of course, we would hope that, and I'm sure this would be part of the process, that there would not be a process going forward or a funding system approved that would not, that the board would not absolutely understand and feel that confident that it would actually succeed and work to continue the efficiencies of the current program and also perhaps improve the transparency. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions or hear any comments.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. Secretary Connaughton, Commissioner Worley, Director Drake, members of Commonwealth Transportation Board. I am John Faust. I am a member of the Fairfax County Board of Supervisors. I represent the Drainsville District. I also serve on the NVTC. I'm here to respectfully ask that CTB continue the current process of distributing state funds for Northern Virginia's transit systems through the Northern Virginia Transportation Commission. DRPT recently informed us that DRPT would no longer provide funding through NVTC, but instead would provide funding directly to the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority, Fairfax County, and other Northern Virginia jurisdictions. The Fairfax County Board of Supervisors is concerned about the impact of this change and voted yesterday to endorse the regional letter asking that you continue the current practice. Since 1974, the Northern Virginia jurisdictions served by the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority have used a subsidy allocation model, or SAM, to distribute regional transit funding, both state assistance and the regional gas tax. While amended in the past, the current SAM has been in place for about 10 years and is a result of significant regional negotiations. Virginia code requires that state transit assistance for WMATA to be allocated in accordance with the SAM. While budget language enacted in 2011 and 2012 allows DRPT to provide funding directly to WMATA, this language does not override the way the funding must be apportioned. We are still unsure if and how this will occur if the new process is put into place. WMATA operates transit service, but it is our localities that are financially responsible to pay for WMATA's bills at the beginning of each quarter, or we lose service. State aid received through NVTC covers only a portion of each bill, and each jurisdiction must assemble sufficient funds from a variety of sources, including our regional gas tax, general fund, and general obligation bond. By keeping transit funding at NVTC and combining that money with our local and regional funding, we manage those resources more efficiently and ensure that our bills are paid on time. Now, transparency has been cited as one motivation for this change. We agree that the public should know about DRPT's significant contributions to transit in Northern Virginia. We can work together on ways to increase transparency without changing a highly efficient process that has worked for almost 40 years. Another reason given for the proposed change is consistency. DRPT wants to treat Northern Virginia like the rest of the state. I think we all appreciate that Virginia is an extremely well-managed state. Good management requires flexibility. At NVTC, we have a system that works very well. We should not change it just for the sake of consistency. I want to touch on the lack of notice on this change. You've heard about it from other speakers. Fairfax County, along with the other jurisdictions, was informed of this change on May 15th and told we had 10 days to affirm our acceptance of the change for funding to be included in the 2013-2018 six-year improvement program. While this deadline was extended by 2 weeks, it is unreasonable to make a drastic change to this long-standing process so quickly and then to be told that we have to accept the change or forfeit the funding. Further, the supplemental resolution you will be asked to consider today affirms that this issue must continue to be studied. However, it says that though this change is being made and DRPT will study this issue further, we will not receive any state transit assistance until at least the next CTB meeting. The Commonwealth has a history of slow and deliberate change. It has served us well. The proposed change is not consistent with that philosophy, as you are being asked to make a change, then study it further, and prohibit us from receiving transit funding in the meantime. Lastly, I must note that Fairfax County very much appreciates, the DRPT funding it receives annually and values the role DRPT and the Commonwealth play in delivering transit services. DRPT has long been a partner in providing transit service for Northern Virginia. However, this policy change could undermine that service, and we believe that the CTB should not vote to alter this process without a full understanding of the legal and other unintended consequences of the change. Thank you very much.
Hi, good afternoon. Mr. Chairman and Commonwealth Transportation Board members, my name is Leighton Powell, and I serve as Executive Director of Scenic Virginia. I'm here today to speak on behalf of President Ceci Howell and our Board of Directors on the issue of the Route 29 bypass in Albemarle County and the City of Charlottesville. Scenic Virginia is the only statewide organization dedicated solely to protecting, preserving, and enhancing the scenic beauty of Virginia. Since 1998, we have emphasized that attractive roadways and beautiful views are good for business, tourism, and our residents. Well-designed roads communicate the pride that our Commonwealth takes in her appearance and quality of life. With that passion for scenic attractiveness in mind, our organization is concerned about plans for the construction of the Charlottesville Route 29 bypass, a new road that would have a major impact on scenic resources. As proposed, this road would cut through open countryside and neighborhoods and would run adjacent to parkland and schools. A particular concern to Scenic Virginia is the fact that the design-build contract you are being asked to award today apparently excludes provisions for landscaping. In our letter dated April 17, 2012, to Secretary Connaughton, we requested that a provision for landscaping proceed along with the design and construction of this road. This seems to us the most efficient and effective way to guarantee an attractive road for tourists and citizens, as well as to assure that facilities such as erosion control ponds don't have to be rebuilt at a later date when landscaping is added. Landscaping, by the way, is required by various NEPA Section 4F and NEPA Section 106 documents. The original landscaping estimate for this road project was $2.6 million. We urge you to give serious consideration now to how landscaping will ultimately be accomplished, what it will cost if it must be included as an afterthought to the design-build contract, and how it will be financed. It seems to us that approving a contract that excludes landscaping does not best serve our Commonwealth in terms of financial efficiency, constructive effectiveness, and the appearance of this road. Please ensure that landscaping is factored into the design, construction, and initial financing of this project. All of us should desire a finished product that is worthy of our beautiful Virginia. We thank you for your consideration.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, my name is Robert Umphries. I'm from Albemarle County. VDOT has used incorrect and inaccurate traffic data for analyses of the proposed Route 29 Western Bypass over a 20-year period. In an attempt to justify construction of this project, VDOT has overestimated projected bypass traffic counts by over 169%. The 1990 DEIS included interchanges on the proposed bypass at Barracks Road and Hydraulic Road, and all the subsequent traffic analyses included these interchanges. The 1990 CTB resolution endorsing the Western Bypass clearly stated, quote, access to the corridor or the interchanges would only be provided at the request of the county, unquote. Albemarle County has never requested and in fact has made it clear that the county does not want or support interchanges on the bypass. The DEIS and FEIS projected identical traffic counts, all of which included interchanges on the bypass. The 1996 Parsons-Brinkerhoff study used DEIS-FEIS traffic counts for its starting base for calculations. The 2003 SEIS summarizes all traffic data from the FEIS and the PB reports, again repeating this incorrect information. This incorrect assumption is still being carried forward today. All of these stated traffic counts, including those in the latest last month financial plan, are much too high because they all are based on interchanges on this bypass. VDOT did not properly model traffic on this bypass without these interchanges, thereby misrepresenting traffic information to the public as well as to elected and appointed officials. This erroneous information has been disseminated to the public for 20 years by VDOT in its nearly 30-year campaign to force this inefficient and outdated bypass to construction. Furthermore, two major ingredients in any traffic congestion issue are the traffic count and the travel time required to go from point A to point B. Both of these factors contribute to the perceived delay experienced by drivers in a congested area. Calculations and extrapolations from a 2006 VDOT study for the total distance from the southern terminus to the northern terminus indicate that the time saved by construction of the proposed Route 29 Western Bypass varies from about 1.5 to 2.5 minutes. That's 1.5 to 2.5 minutes for $250 million. In addition, VDOT has stated that this traffic technology, signal technology, can be improved if response signals were installed. This system would include signal lights that respond to the number of vehicles and automatically change based on the traffic. Many localities have this system. Delay times can be reduced by 15 to 35%. This system would be a fraction of the cost of the proposed Route 29 bypass and would be just as effective in reducing congestion without many of the problems associated with the bypass. This Commonwealth Transportation Board should not award a contract based on inaccurate information or erroneous traffic data. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, my name is John Martin. I live in Albemarle County. I would like to speak about the Charlottesville Route 29 bypass, but in the broader context of the Commonwealth's current transportation funding crisis. This crisis is of sufficient magnitude to have caused the mayors and board chairs from about 50 Golden Crescent cities, towns, and counties to meet in a summit on June 7th in Anabarco County, a meeting I attended. Discussion at the meeting was premised upon the following statement of the crisis. To quote from the summit materials from the conference, the Commonwealth of Virginia is unable to fully meet its transportation needs. The state has projected that by 2017, VDOT will not be able to fully fund its highway maintenance and operating program, nor fully match federal funding. In addition, it is projected that there will be no state transportation revenue for new state highway construction. From the discussion, there was general agreement that the situation poses a threat not only to the continued economic vitality of the Golden Crescent region, but to the entire Commonwealth. And this message currently is being carried to 50 city councils, town councils, boards of supervisors, and to the public in the Golden Crescent region. As this transportation funding crisis continues to develop, it would be imprudent at best to be spending $250 million for a 6.2-mile new road, the Charlottesville Route 29 bypass, which is called a bypass, but it really isn't. These sums would be better spent on other smaller projects in Albemarle County, perhaps, and or in other areas of the Commonwealth to ensure the preservation and safety of our present system of roads and bridges. May I also remind you of your own statement of policy contained in the CTB Policy Handbook at page 4-4. To quote one sentence, to ensure the preservation and safety of the system, obligations related to maintenance of the existing highway system and debt service must be fulfilled prior to funding the construction program. The Route 29 bypass has high political priority, but low priority based upon objective need consistent with your own policy. A contract for the design and construction of the Route 29 bypass should not be awarded, and funds reserved for this project should be reallocated to better benefit all the citizens of the Commonwealth in this time of transportation funding crisis. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I appreciate the time to be able to speak to you tonight. Today, I know you're as tired as the rest of the audience, and you don't want to hear any more about the Charlottesville Western Bypass. But I'm here to ask you not to approve it. My name is Mac Lafferty. I'm on the CHART committee, which is an advisory committee to the MPO. I'm on the MPO. And I'm also vice chair of the Albemarle County Planning Commission. But I'm here today to speak to you on behalf of my daughter and her family and my grandchildren. I believe that the bypass is a total waste of money, and it is, as one quoted, a road to nowhere. It has been turned down by previous members of the CTB. If we do modeling that we have done with the Thomas Jefferson Planning District and in coordination with VDOT, we find that in the year 2040, that any extension to the bypass is not worth building because there's not enough traffic to justify it. So the bypass will still end up dumping traffic back before a major development. To date, I don't believe that there has been any cost-benefit analysis done on the bypass, and I think that runs contrary to much of the discussion I heard this morning, particularly from Mr. Viller, who is questioning just about the finances of about every project, and it seems like the finances on this project have not been addressed adequately. I was delighted when Mr. Miller said that the purpose of this committee was to oversee the highest quality of projects before they awarded them. I was also dismayed by Dr. Davis's comment that this group was mainly a political group. And my feelings, and having listened to this, is that this is mainly a... My interpretation of your comments were that this is a political group, and I can't much differ from that. When we study the transportation issues in the Commonwealth of Virginia, and when funds are as tight as they are, to award a road that goes to nowhere, and any extension of it will not be beneficial to the Commonwealth, and spend $250 million on this project in the next 6 years just does not make sense to the Commonwealth. I have no doubt that you will vote to continue this project because I think it is on a purely political basis. I only ask you is when you go home tonight that you think about and you explain to your children and your grandchildren why you committed funds to this project. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Bernie Cate, and I'm with the City of Alexandria. And I'm also here to talk about item 10, and I'll be brief. I want to concur with the remarks that have already been made by representatives of Fairfax County, Fairfax City, and the City of Falls Church. The City of Alexandria believes that the current system for distributing transit money to Northern Virginia should remain in place, at least for now. And I think the suggestion made by Mr. Colomay that he and Mr. Garzinski get together with representatives of DRPT and the MBTC members to try to come up with some solution that meets the needs of both the Department of Rail and Public Transit and the Northern Virginia localities is a sound one, and we would recommend that the CTB take that approach. Thank you.
I'm the last one. Mr. Secretary, Commissioner Worley, Director Drake, thank you for letting me speak. I'm Pat Carroll from the County of Arlington, and I'm here to speak on item number 10. We have 250,000 transit riders in Arlington a day, so we very much appreciate all the work of DRPT and Director Drake to help get the people into Arlington and out of Arlington and on their way to the other parts of Virginia and into the district in Maryland. We share the concerns of the previous speakers and hope that there's an opportunity to work with our two CTB members and DRPT and the MBTC staff so that we can work this out and move forward and create the kind of transparency and models that we need to create so that we can continue to move the transit riders and continue to make the Commonwealth a great place to live and work. Thank you.
Thank you so much. You said you were the last.
It's like clowns coming out of a Volkswagen.
ladies and gentlemen, I think I am the last one. I'm Sally Thomas. I realize. I was on Albemarle County's Board of Supervisors for 16 years, so if anyone in this room appreciates what it's like to only be in the middle of your meeting that's got yet several hours to go, I really appreciate your time and efforts and all those questions you were asking this morning. I was there for 16 years, from 1994 to 2010. I ran for office in 1993 as an opponent of the Charlottesville-Albemarle bypass. The local newspaper owned then by a local family endorsed me because I opposed the bypass, and I won a quite unique write-in campaign against a bypass proponent. Voters knew what was at stake. In those 16 years on the board and on the MPO, we did not just say no. We did not dig our heels in and refuse to ease the way for travelers to get through our town. Rather, we set about figuring how to improve traffic flow on this highway of national significance. Given the destructiveness of the bypass and paying attention to studies that showed that a bypass wouldn't improve our own traffic flows, leaving us with a Route 29 intersections graded at level F, we looked elsewhere than a bypass. We hired consultants, we hired nationally known transportation planners, we did work sessions with experts. As a community and through our MPO, we were determined to ensure the flow of traffic through and around and across the Route 29 corridor. Because 90% of the traffic is local rather than through traffic, it's a challenge to meet those goals. VDOT leadership and Secretary of Transportation emphasized all around the state that traffic flow is killed by bad land use planning. So we combined our land use and transportation planning in a unique project that you've heard mentioned several times today. It came to be called Places 29. An illustration that we gave to our local residents was, if you have to use Route 29 to take your kid to play at a friend's house in a subdivision next door, but you have to go all the way out to Route 29 and back again to make that little trip, you are clogging up the highway. Every road that connects people and yet avoids that highway opens the highway for the through traveler. So we began planning those parallel roads. Albemarle started building Berkmar Drive with its own money. The city is working on Hillsdale Drive, and we're glad that it's still in your budget. We designed a network that can take 15,000 to 20,000 vehicle trips off of Route 29. We also figured out how to plan the residential and commercial areas along the corridor to develop cross-circulation that won't stress the highway. And then there's the access management that goes miles farther north than this bypass would. And I haven't begun to speak of the $100 million widening to eight lanes that we did of Route 29, stoplight synchronization, traffic management, public transit. Since our plans combine land use and transportation as VDOT recommended, we were VDOT's prized pupils. We were doing what they wished every community would do, they told us just a couple years ago. How it all fell apart until you today are about to force on us a bypass that so many of us have worked so long to create an alternative to is another story, one that you will have to tell, as I can't. Probably powers are at play that are bigger than earnest, intelligent planning can overcome. But if for even a moment you pause to doubt that this bypass is how you want to throw money at a problem, just be assured we know a better way and would love to once again work with VDOT on the more intelligent, efficient solution. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else? Okay, this ends public comment period. Do we have the minutes of May 16th?
Second.
Any additions or changes, revisions? All those in favor say
aye.
Aye. Thank you very much. We have the BRAC. How are you?
I'm well, Mr. Secretary and members of the board. I'll be very brief in the interest of time. Last fall, Congress allocated $300 million for improvements, road improvements associated with medical facilities that were constructed as part of the 2005 BRAC. Fort Belvoir constructed a 1.2 million square foot hospital. So Fairfax County and VDOT jointly applied for a $180 million grant to widen Route 1 between Telegraph Road and Mount Vernon Memorial Highway. We received that grant in November. We've developed a memorandum of agreement between VDOT, Fairfax County, the Army, and Federal Highway. And that agreement spells out the responsibilities of each party. Federal Highway will administer a design build project. VDOT will assist in terms of approving designs, monitoring construction, assisting the design builder in acquisition of right-of-way. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions and ask for your approval of the resolution.
Questions from the party?
Move this approval, Mr. Chairman. It's in.
Second.
All those in favor say
aye.
Aye. All opposed? Okay, annual budgets.
Okay.
Mr. Loss, Mr. Pippen?
Motion.
Any further? We have a motion.
Motion approved.
Second.
Second.
All those in favor say
aye.
All
those
opposed? Thank you very much. Excellent.
Thanks, sir.
Local assistance division,
Mr. Brule. Lots of
things for you today.
The transportation enhancement.
Move approval.
Second. Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Local assistance payments to cities, towns.
The only change in this from what you've seen in previous years is that we are bringing three new towns into the urban system. They all surpass the 3,500 population threshold as part of the 2010 census, so that'll bring our total to 84 localities. And that's reflected in this allocation.
Move approved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? We have number five, Arlington and Henrico. Do we have a motion?
Move.
Second.
Second.
We've had the discussion.
Yeah,
everybody knows how I feel and how I'll vote on this one.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Nay.
Okay. Number six, Economic Development Access Fund policy.
This was the revision we presented to you last month.
Move approval.
Second.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? We have the bond period moratorium. Action on that. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? We have the economic development access fee allocation for COVID. Any questions on that one?
Mr. Chairman, I understand that this has been run through Albemarle County and they understand this action and have no objection, so I move approval.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All the opposed say aye.
No,
I'm sorry. All those in favor say aye. All right, revenue sharing, number nine. Any questions on this one? We have a motion.
Move approval.
So moved.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed?
Thank you.
6-year plan. Liz Buescher, come on up here.
Did you get that list, Jeff?
I'm working on it, sir.
Okay, any further discussion?
I move approval, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, I have an amendment.
Sure.
My amendment is this. We have heard, I think, no more eloquent statement than Sally Thomas about this 29 bypass. On our own 29 study that our Parsons Frickenhoff did for us, indicated that this is a project that has no transportation purpose. You all have heard today about the very, very severe problem and needs that we have in the county. We can't afford to look the taxpayers of Virginia in the face and throw money on a road to nowhere. That's how it's referred to in the General Assembly. My amendment is simply this, and as Sally quite eloquently said, there are alternatives like the Hillsdale Drive project that a lot of the funds were taken out of in the 6-year plan. At about 10% of the cost of this bypass would remove 12,000 vehicles a day. And the private sector is going to pay for a lot of this. So this is the type of thing we need to do. So my amendment is this. With respect to the $245 million, $80 million would be retained in the Culpeper District for these cost-effective projects.
$165 million, my amendment would be divvied up by the other 8 construction districts, and you all decide what to do with it. That's about $20.5 million in each construction district that you could use for cost-effective programs, whether it be the Dulles project or the tunnel or whatever. You could do this next month, and that would go for the Lynchburg district. All the districts would get this money, and you all can use this for something that's cost-effective. We would retain something that's cost-effective. This is what I propose to my colleagues so that we can wisely spend the money that the taxpayers have put out.
Do we have a second on that amendment?
I have a second for discussion.
Mr. Pate?
I'm going to speak out against this amendment. We've been discussing this project for 20-plus years. I've been discussing it for several years on the CTB. And far from being a road to nowhere, this is a road from the North Carolina line all the way to Washington, D.C. U.S. Route 29 is the lifeblood of Southside Virginia, of Danville, through Chatham, through Pennsylvania County, through Lynchburg, through Amherst, past Charlottesville, through Culpeper, and up to D.C. There's no more fiscally stressed area than Danville, Martinsville area, Southside Virginia. This is a key road for economic development for Danville and Lynchburg. There's been an investment of over $500 million to build the bypass around Danville that was done, then up Route 29 around Madison Heights that was done. All of these were included in the study that first approved this project more than 20 years ago. In excess of $50 million has been spent buying the right-of-way, doing the studies, the environmental studies, fighting the environmental battle in the United States federal court to approve this bypass around Charlottesville. This has been studied. It's been approved. It has now been passed by us. All that is left to do by the Commonwealth Transportation Board is to vote on this and to award the contract, which actually came in under budget for what we had proposed. I'm asking the board to reject this amendment, to approve the 6-year plan, and to proceed with this bypass around Charlottesville to protect. We've had the corridor, a statewide significance study chaired by Mr. Colmay, which has gone over this ad infinitum. This is a corridor of statewide significance. I don't think that VDOT is rushing to throw away $250 million for a road to nowhere. I don't think VDOT has been trying to do that for the past 20 years. I don't think the Commonwealth Transportation Board has been trying to waste $250 million for 20 years. I don't think it was trying to waste $500 million over the past 10 years. And then I hear the folks come in from Charlottesville and Albemarle who have fought this bypass from the very second it was started and say, we really want the bypass, we want it to go a different way, we've got all these plans, and I've never seen a single one, there's never been a single funds committed to any of this. This is the plan, this is as good as we got, this is as good as it's going to get. We have the money, we have the contract, we need to approve the contract. And I asked the board to reject the amendment and approve the contract.
Any other comments?
Let me just reiterate, Mr. Chairman, the 29 study that you referred to said that this particular project serves no transportation purpose whatsoever. In other words, it does not work. That's what our own VDOT 29 study said. We've already spent $100 million. This is not a bypass. It only covers about 6 miles, and we've already spent $100 million to widen that to 8 lanes. It's the only late 8-lane segment of 29 in the Commonwealth. In addition to that expenditure that we've already made, we spent millions of dollars to synchronize the lights. We all want prosperity for the Lynchburg district. About 2,000 vehicles a day go through this area. This is mainly local traffic. And we have addressed that by these parallel roads, one of which is halfway in the budget. They took a lot of money out between the no construction money was left in between the draft and the final. And virtually everyone recognizes that that would take 12,000 vehicles a day off 29 and work wonderfully. So no one's saying do nothing. Just do the cost-effective thing because we don't have money to burn. We've got tons of projects in all of your districts. You all can benefit by this amendment. If you vote against this, you're going to have to go back home and say you turned down money that could be used in your district. This money was taken from the Megafund project for PPTA projects that were supposed to have some kind of viability for leverage from the private sector. Nobody in the private sector would touch this thing. So we need to put this money back into the tunnel, into the Dulles toll road, or whatever you all want. I'm not going to tell you all how to spend the money in your own districts. I'm sure you can spend the money efficiently. And then we still improve 29 in Charlottesville and Albemarle. So it's a win-win all the way around.
Call for question.
Call for question. All those in favor of the amendments say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
The nays have it. I do want to just get to one point. The commissioner was going back and forth to check on this issue on the Hillsville bypass. And apparently there was a mistake made by the staff in crunching this. So they're going to come back to correct the six-year plan.
In July.
They appreciate very much Mr. Rich pointing out that there was a mistake made in the final printing of the six-year plan.
Yeah.
Which is that?
Hillsdale.
Are you going to put the money back in for that?
Yeah. Really, if you can just...
That's all we really need. That'll fix it.
Yes, there was a project estimate of about $29 million. We had fully funded PE and right away, which left about a $10 million gap in construction. Between the draft and the final, the right away estimate went down. And what we did by mistake, we continued to fully fund the PE and right away, but we didn't take the excess money that we had and put it to construction, which left, and we had enough to fully fund construction. Because of the savings in the right-of-way. We should have done that. We made a mistake. We'll come back in July and fix that. I can't give you to do that today because I don't have the exact strategy on how I would make that happen. But I believe that we can make it happen. The staff and I have discussed it. We think we can fix that or correct that error.
Thank you, sir. I think it would be very beneficial.
So I did move the amendment for approval, my motion for approval, subject to Mr. Worley's change on the Hillsville project.
Who's the second?
Second. Discussion item, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Mr. Worley.
As pointed out by Scenic Virginia, what's the deal on the no landscaping in that project budget?
We do have we will be doing the landscaping. We will be holding some public meetings on that to get some input on what we plan to do on the landscaping. We have, I heard during the testimony, I heard $2.6 million, but I know we have somewhere around the $1.2 million for that. So that will take place.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. All those in favor of the six-year plan, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? We have 10B. This is the motion on the MBTC issue. Mr. Kluman?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to move its approval and speak to that motion.
Second.
Peter Drucker, the business guru, once wrote, "The best way to manage change is create it yourself." And again, I want to commend Director Drake for taking the initiative to look for ways that we can program our money more directly, more transparently, and more easily. It's something that we need to look at in all our operations. The other old saying that I like to cite is straight from the horse's mouth, and particularly in an information age that I referred to earlier, the ability to talk directly and understand directly what's going on is really a vital element of trust today. And if we started a conversation at that end of the table and worked it around to that end of the table, it would be very, very different. So more direct ability to speak, to move money, to understand everyone's role is really part of this transition process in the state and local partnership. That being said, I just wanted to reiterate the process that we put in place. What will happen is you needed a starting point in the six-year improvement plan. In this case, Director Drake's starting point is there, but we want to have full discussions over the next few weeks and arrive not just at some better understanding, but a consensus on how to proceed. So with that having said, I do move the approval of the resolution and look forward to reporting back to you positively in July.
Any further discussion?
I just have a question, Mr. Chairman. Does this hold up the funding for a month? Can they go ahead and get the funding?
It's my understanding that there's not a financial crisis between July 1 and July 18th when we meet.
But it would stop the funding.
That's exactly right.
I have some concerns.
That's okay. I don't mind.
If I could just add, this is really at the request of the jurisdictions as well, because as you've heard them today, they would rather not see this happen. So in order to make them feel comfortable that, yes, we're going to have the discussion, so we're not just moving ahead, and I did explain to them that all the timing was driven by the printing of the picture plan, strict deadlines on what we needed to do. And last year, they waited 3 months to pull down funding. They have money in trust accounts that certainly they were planning to use anyway for July 1. So that's a, Mr. Coulomb has said, it's not an issue.
So you're telling us that this will not damage the transit systems up there?
No. There's money in trust accounts at MVTC for all of the jurisdictions to use.
And the jurisdictions that testified have no objection to this resolution?
Mr. Rich, I'll answer that question. I think there are some concerns about the overall issue, but understanding the process, they realize this resolution is necessary to mitigate the six-year plan instruction, that which would immediately move to the new way of doing things that Director Drake has proposed. So this gives us the additional time we need to come up with the best solution, the consensus solution that we can present to you next month.
Mr. Chairman,
yes, Mr.
Do we have to come back and approve with this resolution of 10B? Do we have to come back and then approve sort of what the decision is?
Yes.
So the whole process would come back to the body before we move forward. Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you.
That's one more opportunity to have a discussion about it. Maybe even more.
I'm hoping these guys might just come back and sit in. They're enjoying it. Be like a guest lecture or something.
We'll teleconference them in. Any further discussion? All of the favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Thank you very much. Okay. Programming. Mr. Mitchell. Transfers.
I have your usual monthly transfers for May 1st through May 29th. Most of the money is in excess or not needed on the projects and being moved to projects where it can fund scheduled projects or to a balance entry. I'll be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Move your approval.
Second. All of the favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you very much. The meeting tips done. And first, for Loudoun County, any questions regarding the
Controller
application?
Move the application.
Second.
All
any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? We have the VTIP for round 46.
Move the application.
Second.
Any further discussion? All
those
in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? We have scheduling and contracts.
Move approval.
We have a motion.
Second. On contact. I have two questions. On this.
Sure you do, Mr. Rich.
Yeah. That's our fiduciary obligation.
Mr. Canis.
Yeah, all pretty good.
Yeah. Two questions. We have a motion, a second, and we have a couple questions.
Okay, a couple questions. One on contract. Are you trying to approve all these in blocks?
No.
No, I think actually Mr. Mel did make the block.
Well, what we normally do is go through, unless there's objection. Carol puts them in the minutes as separate, even though unless somebody wants to pull one out.
The first question that I have is on the Route 5.
Yeah.
I should page it that one on.
That's the way.
Yeah. Is this trail right next to the road, or is it set off the road?
It's usually set off the road.
Yeah. In this case.
Well, do you know the details? Route 5.
I believe this is a portion of the road. This is not a portion of the recent public hearing.
Oh, that's what I was concerned about.
There's
no controversy over this one.
Right. Okay.
Right. Yeah. The other issue I have is on the Route 29 contract.
Okay, is 29 the only one we want to pull out? We'll have a separate.
Yeah.
I'll amend the motion.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you very much. We have a motion, a second motion on
the motion.
Second.
Yes.
Okay. And then Mr. Rich.
My concern about this contract is no one has seen the design on this thing. No one knows what it does. None of the taxpayers have. I was briefed on it, but I was told I was not allowed to discuss it with the public. So you all are being asked to vote on a contract that nobody knows exactly what it does, what the design is. Additionally, the environmental document is not complete and probably won't be until the fall. We have no idea what additional requirements, FHWA or some other agency. This is all, a lot of it's federal money. So we don't know what's going on with respect to that. We really don't know how this would impact the existing roads or what kind of additional expenditures we would have. So I think really if we're premature, there's no need to rush ahead of this until we have the environmental document. FHWA may require an as pointed out, there's no landscaping in this. We don't know about sound walls. We don't know what's going to be required here. So there's no reason why we couldn't come back when the environmental document is complete. Then we'll know exactly what we're voting on. You know, this reminds me when I worked on the Hill, they brought a project up knowing you'd have to add to it through the supplemental appropriations process. Doug, you probably might be a little bit familiar with that. But we're just buying a pig at a poke here. We don't know what's going on here as far as what may be required. So I have a motion to defer this contract until the environmental document is complete. Then we'll know it may be completely signed off on. There may be an additional, I don't know how many millions more added to the project. But we're shooting in the dark at the moment. So my motion would be that we defer this contract until the environmental document is complete. Then we'll have all the information we need to make an informed vote on this thing. Otherwise, you're voting for a pig in a poke.
Sorry, so you have a motion in the sentiment. Would that be a substitute?
Is there an underlying motion?
Yeah, I made the motion to approve the contract.
Second.
He just has raised discussion. That was just...
Well, then, are you making
a motion to defer the 29 contract until the environmental document is complete?
That's a substitute motion. Do we have a second on that? No. We have a second. Now the next issue is I'd like either Mr. Walton or the commissioner just to talk about the process after today, what ends up happening, the public side of it, and what will be happening from this moment on.
All right, Mr. Chairman, we have the contract before us today. Hopefully the CTB will act on this contract. But we have contacted FHWA, and they have sent us a letter dated June 15th approving, granting their approval to award this contract. They are authorizing us to do two things in this contract, and this was all a part of the RFP that went out to solicit this bid.
And the two things that we will be doing, we have a notice to proceed, and we're calling it the first notice to proceed. If this contract is approved today, the first notice to proceed will do the traffic studies on the northern and the southern termini, and it will also do the geometric alignment for traffic analysis. Those are the two things that this contract will, the first thing that they will be doing. Now, concurrent to that, we are doing the NEPA work, the re-evaluation of the EA. We will be having that sent to FHWA the latter part of June. We're expecting FHWA, if they would approve that, then that document would be available to the public. We are scheduling citizen information meeting on that re-evaluation of the EA in September. And then we would then work with, if there's a need, we would have a revised EA submitted to FHWA in October. And then FHWA would give us their decision at that point. Now, after getting that approval, we would then be allowed to go to the second notice to proceed. In that notice to proceed, second notice to proceed, is where we will be finalizing our preliminary designs. Once the preliminary designs are finalized, then we will be holding a public involvement to review those designs. We are expecting, that would happen right after those, as appropriate, when those designs are finalized. And then we would make any adjustments, if needed, to the design at that point in time. That's kind of the process. We have kind of methodically laid this out. This is a part of the solicitation document. The contractor is fully aware of these schedules. And this has been the plan from day one when we sent out this RFP. So I think we have the issues covered from the NEPA perspective. And we have the public involvement piece covered from the design side of it. So I think we've addressed all of the issues.
I have a few questions, Mr. Commissioner. Right now, we really are not allowed to do any full PE, correct? We can do enough for the EA. We're not allowed to do any right-of-way acquisition. We're not allowed to do any construction.
Right.
We have to wait for the environmental document, correct?
That's correct.
And then you may or may not get a notice to proceed. So
we have a notice to proceed.
Not on the second.
Right, because you want to go through the processes that I just laid out.
Right.
But you do have a notice to proceed. The first notice to proceed is to do the traffic studies and the geometric alignment that I discussed. We have a letter from FHWA authorizing that. FHWA fully understands that we are doing the reevaluation process.
Right.
As they work under the notice to proceed on number one is continuing.
Right.
So it's a concurrent operation.
Right. But the project is still up in the air until you get a second notice to proceed. Because we don't know what the environmental document may say or the traffic analysis may say. Correct? That's still undergoing.
That will be undergoing with the existing footprint, yes, for the project.
Yeah. Okay. So it's not final. One thing I think we need to have, because, you know, we have this mess down at UVA with lack of transparency. People don't like that. We need to have a public hearing so people can see, people who own houses, people who have property, can see what's going on with the design, how it affects them. There are 7 schools, 4,000 school children. And they need to see how this is going to impact them. So the very least we can do, we're not going to do like with the Board of Regents at UVA. You've got to do better than that. We need to have a full public hearing in September, or whenever you all have the adequate information about the design, and we need to do this. I want to quote the former president of UVA, Castine. He said, "I do not understand silence and secrecy as elements of good practice in carrying out the public's business." And that lapses over into our business as well. This is not a privately held corporation. We're dealing with public money. these property owners have property rights, and these school children need to know how this impacts them. We need to have a public hearing on the records so we can address their concerns and go forward. I think that's very fair.
I think my response was that there would be public involvement.
But what kind?
This thing or the design. I thought you said
public
that.
Hearing?
Public hearing.
Okay, now.
Or the design.
It's not a conversation.
Yes, it is.
Well, it shouldn't be. We're in a business meeting.
Well, that's right. We're following what the feds and our processes normally would have us go. Is that right, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Yes.
Very happy design. I'm totally happy. Now, I'll shut up and let us get out of here.
All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
What are we voting on?
We just voted on 29.
I just did it.
No.
For the record.
Is it too late now?
No, it isn't.
Let the record reflect.
Mr. Chairman.
Well, everyone knows where I stand.
Mr. Secretary? Mr. Secretary? I don't mean to interrupt you. I want to be clear about the approvals. We also had two TAMS contracts on there. My understanding is you packaged four of these into one for approval and then approved all of those and then approved the last one in 29. Okay.
Yes.
Can I ask you a question, Mr. Chairman?
Sure.
Just sort of it may apply to lots of projects. We approve a contract today with Skanska to start this process. Obviously, we don't have full approval from the feds yet. There's some hurdles yet to happen. What happens if in a typical contract, design-build contract like this, and specifically in this contract, what happens if we don't get the approvals that we're looking for, or if something changes, or? Are there, like, liquidated damages? How does that work typically in a contract you negotiate?
Mal, do you know the answer?
Is there an out? If we don't get what we need to get, is there an out? Is there a, you know, how does that typically work?
There in the contract, there's provisions for termination. We would be responsible. Let's say we go into October and we don't get a federal approval, then we'd be responsible for their expenses that they came from this date doing. Commissioner outlined two different things the federal government allows us to do to move the project forward. We would be responsible for that, and there may be some other expenses, but then we would end the contract there.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yes, I know this is after the fact, Mr. Chairman, but I just wanted to register my own sentiments that I couldn't disagree with Mr. Rich more. I think there's integrity on this board. I think there's integrity in VDOT. I think there's integrity in the Federal Highway Administration. And I think there's integrity in the processes that link us together. And that's always been the basis on which I've participated in this body's business. And I just wanted to make that point.
I'd like to respond to that, Mr. Chairman. I have great respect for my colleagues, including the speak who's in favor of this project. But we can disagree. That doesn't mean I don't think there's integrity on folks who disagree with me. let's lay this right out on the line, if you want to. This is a political project that is mainly to satisfy the folks in the Lynchburg district. Nobody in my district is really consulted on this thing. And that's okay. I mean, I'm a big boy. I understand how politics works. But I don't think that anyone has a lack of integrity. They're doing what they think is right. I happen to think it's a waste of money. And I think unless we have people on boards that'll stand up if they think they see a waste of money and at least talk about it instead of bringing a rubber stamp and approving everything without any thought, then we ought not to be on this board. But that doesn't mean, I may disagree with you, but that doesn't mean that I think that there's no integrity there. Does that make sense to you?
Mr. Chairman, can I speak to the first resolution?
What's that?
Can I speak to the first resolution?
Well, we're done.
We have some new business.
I'm sorry, I can't leave this, Mr. Miller. Mr. Rich, you know, this is not a political project, and I really am quite, no, you know, folks, I just got to tell you, I'm coming into all this new, and as someone who has lived in the Commonwealth for 30 years and has been going down to Charlottesville from relatives who live down there and seeing progressively how traffic on 29 has gotten worse and worse and worse. And this project's been out there for well over, I mean, we're talking about 20 years in this process. It's been talked about for well before that. It's been politics that's kept it from moving forward. And as we've seen what's happened out in Charlottesville and Albemarle County specifically, is that given to the challenges that have happened there on the transportation there, on 29, in the core area, getting closer to Charlottesville, you've seen that Board of Supervisors get behind this project. And you've seen with the election that an overwhelming majority of the people supported those candidates who support this project. The thing is, you know, these are difficult decisions, but this project has been vetted over 20 years. I can't think of another project that's been vetted more. And the thing is that we have an opportunity to move forward on a project. It's probably one of the biggest investments we've made in the Culpeper District for a very, very long time. It's not the perfect solution, but it's going to be a partial solution to some of the major problems being faced in the Charlottesville area. And the thing is, I give and commend all the board members who, you know, the new ones particularly, who, you know, might not have been aware of this project. Those who have been here for a long time, they know about this project, they've seen it, they've dealt with it. And, you know, I when you end up talking about politics, the politics isn't on this side of the table. And it's really, I give enormous amount of credit to the people sitting here and supporting this, because these folks are the ones who have to make some tough decisions, but decisions that should have been made 20 years ago. And when, you know, it could have been the solution 20 years ago, and now it's a partial solution today. And I give a great credit to the board. First resolution on the new business. Who would like to talk to the first one?
I was going to make my comment and then ask the question. I would like, Dr. Davis, it would be really, it would give me great pleasure if you'd make a motion and I could second, so that I could show my affinity for the Tar Heel State of North Carolina. The fact that I would tip my hat to them as our brothers and sisters to the South. And if you make the motion, I'd be honored to second it.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make that motion.
And I'll second it.
I could decide all the votes on this. All those in favor say
aye.
Aye. All those opposed. Thank you very much. All right, Bonner Bridge.
That's what we just did.
That's what we just did.
That's the affinity? Okay.
North Carolina. We're going to North Carolina.
Let's put these next three together. Mr. Keene, Mr. Bowie, Mr. Davis. We have, let's put them all together. We have a motion.
So moved. Since I did not make it last night, I'd like to be the one to say I could not be more, proud to serve with these three gentlemen.
And I get the second.
And I get the second as well, because I cannot make it.
Now, before we vote on these, these three gentlemen, I've had the great opportunity to work with them the last 2.5 years. They've been outstanding members, and they really are outstanding gentlemen in every different way. I particularly am going to miss Dr. Davis. Mr. Bowie, and Mr. Keene really have done a great job of representing their areas and introducing us to the challenges being faced by some of our rural areas in Southwest Virginia. You're going to be sorely missed, and we appreciate everything you've done for us. I don't know if other folks would like to make some comments.
I second those comments, and coming in, I had been told about these individuals by the gentleman I replaced, and everything he said was accurate. Y'all are true gentlemen, true statesmen, and true public servants, as I've seen throughout numerous issues that have come before the board. There's, I don't see any politics. I think I'm probably on the opposite side of most of you on politics. I don't see any politics and how you've conducted your business since I've been here on the issues we've talked about. I just can't say enough about the service y'all provided, and I really do appreciate the opportunity to serve with you.
I'd also like to second just about every comment that was made. When I first joined the board, obviously I looked at these gentlemen as well as some of the others that were here, very much the statesmen. A lot of experience, a lot of exposure that I gained to the rest of the Commonwealth and some of the challenges and issues that were out there that it wouldn't otherwise have had. Been very articulate, been very good in guiding me through some of the key issues that have been out there, and I've appreciated your counsel, your thoughts, comments that you have spoken, and what you have brought to the board, the dedication that you have represented as public servants doing this. As we all know, none of us do this for the pay, since we don't get paid anything, but it takes a lot of work and it takes a lot of patience, particularly at a time when transportation revenues are such that we can make everybody happy. So I really appreciate what you've done over the last several years, and certainly hope to see you again in the future.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to thank Mr. Sterling for his comments.
I'm not going to vote against this motion.
I would point out that you're going to get to sit in the seat where you're going to crane your neck all day long trying to see.
Mr. Chairman, I made my remarks last night, but I just want to let my actions speak for me today. So I just want to... One's controversial.
I know it is very controversial.
I don't know about us.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman.
I hope you guys weren't politicking last night.
I have a motion to bring before the board designation of a secretary to the Commonwealth Transportation Board, whereas there are numerous legal documents and other instruments which must be attested to by someone on behalf of the board, and whereas it is not always possible or practical to have said documents or instruments attested by the chair. Now, therefore, be it resolved that our good friend Dana M. Martin is appointed as Secretary of the Board to attest the Chairman's signature and other documents of the Board. Be it further resolved that this appointment serves to rescind all prior appointments to the position of Secretary of the Board.
Second.
Oh, this means he's financially responsible for the
getting money.
Double his pay. Double his pay.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed. Do you have any other new business?
Or adjourn.
Have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you all very much. Adjourn.